Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. Welcome to another episode of Voices for Excellence. I am your host, Dr. Michael Connor, CEO and founder of the Agile Evolutionary Group and proud host of VFE. And today's guest is a good friend of mine. Absolutely love him to death. Today, before the show, we actually had to promise each other that we would stay on topic because we both have a singular love of basketball and have story for days. But not only is he a good friend of mine, personal friend where we share stories about sports, he is also the assistant superintendent, director of adult education for the Buckeye Career Center in New Philadelphia, Ohio. So yes, VFE, we got him all the way across Ohio. We're not going to talk about LeBron James. We're not going to talk about the Cavaliers, okay? We're not going to talk college basketball. We will talk education. But I am glad to host Frank Poland from the Buckeye Career Center. Frank, all the way from New Philadelphia, how you doing today?
Michael, I couldn't be any better. And it is technology grand, you know, the connect. Connecticut, New Philadelphia, take a little bit more than a day maybe to get there in a car today in today's day and age, but this is just absolutely perfect. I'm so excited and honored to be in your presence, young man.
Oh, man, Frank, I tell you, it is good to have you on the show and your perspective. So outside of sports, right, we're going to talk about what I think is it is an essential entity and a educational imperative in education, which we're talking about the workforce demand, workforce industry, preparation of our students. You know, Frank, when you and I were talking, I believe it was about a few weeks ago, we were talking about the radical shift, right? The radical mindset shift around workforce readiness and the importance of industry preparation for our students in Generation Z and Generation Alpha, because we'll get into some of the statistical data and forecasted research around workforce demands. But Frank, we're going to start out with an easy question for VFE. And this really opens up our listeners and our viewers to who you are. So Frank, you know, across the country, you're known for, you know, I call you the workforce king, right? Education-based king, right? But educational stakeholders across the country, right? Whether it be Ohio or nationally, what excellence song describes your leadership signature? Now, what song would industry and education practitioners identify your song that describes the work that you underpin in the ecosystem?
You know, first of all, great question. And I love listening to your previous podcast guests and listening to their songs and hear all different genre. And I'll tell you, me, my wife and kids make fun of me because I know like no songs in essence, word by word, who sings it. When it comes on, I recognize it. And I probably make up some of my words, but I get the feeling in my role, you know, my dad was a truck driver. So I go back and I look and there were really two that I thought off right off the way for myself. But then I thought, nope, I've got the perfect song in it. But I originally thought Alabama's 40-hour week because, man, you got to get to work. You know, you got to get on down the line, all those different things. Then I went Coolin' the Gang and Celebration because I like to have a really good time. I think you can have fun and learn and be involved in all the different things. But then you know what? Kind of going back to some of my roots.
Mm-hmm.
I thought, man, one song that still gives me chills no matter how many times I hear it.
Mm-hmm.
Brings tears to my eyes.
Mm-hmm.
One Shining Moment.
Yes.
The theme song of became the theme song of the NCAA tournament. And the story of how it became the theme song, Michael, it was supposed to be played after the Super Bowl. And they ran out of time. I don't know if you knew this.
I did not know that.
It's an incredible story. They ran out of times when they went to cut to commercial at the end. Ran out of airtime, it didn't make it. So that now that guy, David Barrett, was the original composer, you know, filled with like, oh man, build up, waiting for a song, never happened. But they called him back and said, don't worry, we've got an idea, the tournament's ready to come up. And right away, you know, dealing with the struggle, you know, the words, the power, the work, the, you know, always taking your shot and all those different things. Even though you may give your very best, it may not work out for you. And then you add Luther Vandross in there as they did it again. I mean, I'm almost getting chills now just thinking about that song. But incredible that the fact that it kind of came out of a mistake in essence, kind of got left on the cutting room floor, but picked himself back up and has been the trademark since, interesting enough, with Bob Knight passing away, right?
Yeah.
It's been a trademark since 1987 was the first time that was played.
Wow. And you know what, Frank, you gave that history of one shining moment. And I love how, you know, when you said that it was supposed to be a part of the Super Bowl.
Yeah. Yeah.
And now that shift to the NCAA tournament.
What it is.
And the NCAA tournament is synonymous for one shining moment. And every player that plays in the NCAA tournament, they want to hear that song at the last day of the tournament. That means you won the whole thing.
Oh, yeah.
But now, wait, Frank, let's look at this from an educational parallelization, right? One shining moment where some students, right, they have that, I wouldn't say the opportunities, right, or the access to be able to have that one shining moment, but one shifting decision or one shift in identifying their own strengths, aptitudes, right, can create that NCAA one shining moment. But really love the interface between Alabama's 40-hour week and Cool of the Gang celebration.
Oh, yeah.
Frank,
yeah.
Here we go, brother.
Absolutely. That's great stuff. Love it.
Gotta get that out.
I mean, I got kind of chills right there to talk about that.
Listen, you gave me chills when it's one shining moment because I did play college basketball, and you always want to shoot for that song, one shining moment, right? You get to the tournament, once you get there, and then you move seamless and let's get to, you know, the Final Four and to the NCAA championship. But Frank, I want to tell you that you have been a pioneer in this work in Ohio. Your work has spread nationally with regards to workforce readiness, the importance of meeting the new demands in the AC stage of education regarding workforce development. Frank, you have been doing this for years. You have been a staunch advocating for, you know, preparing students for a demand that we don't know. You have been advocating for essentially ensuring that students have the necessary competencies and skills so that they'll be able to seamlessly go into the workforce without having any type of college debt, right? You have epitomized the work of not just college readiness, but let's underscore now what I think is one of the most important dimensions of college and career readiness, which is career readiness, Delta 2030, right? The Buckeye Career Center is a leader nationally regarding career technical programs. We know the state of Ohio, one of the national pioneers with regards to career development of students in the AC stage of education. But for you, serving for one of the most successful career technical programs in the country, what is the vision of the Buckeye Center so that our leaders can emulate that? Because we know that now workforce readiness, career technical readiness is a critical underpinning that is coupled by college readiness and what I call digital readiness for 2030. If I'm an executive leader or a member of a cabinet member or even a board of education member, what are some expansion ideas to career pathways in alignment with the workforce demand in the AC stage of education?
Yeah, well, Michael, first of all, thank you. We're extremely fortunate. I'm part of an excellent team, and Ohio is the leader, and that's certainly. So here at Buckeye Career Center, our mission statement is to serve the community by empowering people of all ages. That's important, of all ages, to discover their passion and to prepare for their future through career and technical education. And so what we, in essence, break that down to is we want to help people discover their passion and prepare for their future. That's the simplest way of, I guess, putting it in that regard. Mm-hmm. And we do that through a variety of core values: responsibility and accountability, communication and collaboration, creativity, success for all, and maybe the one that, and these are no particular order, other than maybe alphabet, servant leadership, mm-hmm. having passion, innovation and adaptability. And so what we'll do is every admin meeting we have, we read that mission statement. We go through those core values. Every time we're in front of large groups, we're going to have that mission statement everywhere. We're going to have those core values everywhere. And I think that is huge because it cannot be said enough that there's all different ways to get to where you want to go. And we believe that helping people discover their passion and prepare for their future is the road to get there. As far as expansion ideas, I think people have to be open. I think people have to be willing. They have to be an active participant. They have to be well-read. And then you know what else comes into that, Michael, is being well-connected. You think about how social media and different things along that lines have, in essence, allowed us to connect, yeah, allowed the world to be kind of flattened so that we can learn a lot. I go back to, I think back to the pioneer Zig Ziglar, right? And you hear about automobile university. Mm-hmm. Well, now you don't have to be in an automobile and you've got that ability through Zooms. I'm going to cancel my cable because I'm just a YouTube guy now watching all the different opportunities that come into play in that. But really, ideas as programming expansion, getting ready for the future demands, the logistics, the robotics. We're fortunate to be in an area that EV vehicles are starting to go in those regards. We are rural, Michael, so we are still behind, such as the 5G broadband, which is a huge player in everything that we want to do moving forward. That is certainly something, the advancement of technologies. And I think in order to advance, we have to honor our past, mm-hmm, expand and help people discover. But so when we think about expansion, there's a lot of things going on, and we're fortunate to be somewhat in the middle of it.
Absolutely. And Frank, thank you for bringing that up, because this is kind of, a sub-variant statement and a question, a hybrid, right? You said some critical, or you identified critical themes that I think defies the traditional model of education and is finally demystifying why we have to move away from the traditional legacy model, right? Passion, future, responsibility, accountability, collaboration, success for all. Now, when I look at those themes, not any sequential or alphabetical combination, Frank, that is Delta 2030, right? That is preparing students from an interpersonal perspective, a cognitive perspective, a self-leadership perspective, and you target it specifically in the areas of logistics. When I think about that, the areas of manufacturing, robotics, you talk about technology, right? Right now, you and I can agree, Frank, and we talked about this, the current construct of the education model does not support those themes. Right. When in reality, the economic demand are those themes you highlighted. So Frank, if you can, right, when we talk about how do we educate students for passion, ability, and strengths, and it is underscored with this career technical readiness, i.e., I'm just going to eliminate college readiness for a minute, but focus on career readiness and digital readiness, which your answer encompasses, right? How do we balance that? What does that look like now when we still have this perseveration, this hyper focus on standardized assessment scores, even to the context of we're still using assessment scores to drive outputs for the from the pandemic. Go ahead, Frank, because you're next.
That's right. Now, I guess I will preface this with saying, I don't think I ever learned anything by taking a test. Mm-hmm. Okay. So to be measured on that may not be fair to all.
Absolutely.
And I would also say this, the alternative models and different things, all of us now in our car have the Garmins, the GPSs, but they're not always the best route. There's always not maybe the most efficient or the way that someone may be comfortable in doing that. Yeah. So just as a GPS, you still have to know where you want to go. Yeah. And then you got to have a map to how you're going to get there.
Yeah.
And we got to be respectful to the fact that there are many on-road or on-ramps and off-ramps. Education is not a race.
Right.
And so how do we get people at all different speeds and all different places? And I really think at the end of the day, Michael, doesn't everyone want to have a career?
Yeah, absolutely.
It probably doesn't matter maybe how you get there. The most technical jobs, doctors and engineers, they're still at the end of the day careers. So I don't know why we ever maybe didn't look at an alternative method for a lot of different ways anyway. Because at the end of the day, there's a school north of us that talks about every day is a J-O-B. You know, that's their do your job. And then, you know, and they talk about being readiness for that. But one thing that we're very proud of here, one thing that Ohio has really emphasized and I think really helps because they've identified there's a workforce shortage problem.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So it's not just a matter of not having enough people, but now how do we upskill these people? Mm-hmm. And so what we focused on in Ohio Department of Education now, which has completely changed, it's now just recently put under the governor a cabinet position, has really focused on industry credentials, valuing the skilled learning, becoming an AWS certified welder, becoming a FANUC operator, all these different things. And they've quantified points and it's a graduation pathway. So if you're not a traditional test taker, this is another way in which you can even earn your diploma and become a very skilled, very marketable worker.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And Michael, from that point, we went from, I think my first year, which was 9 years ago, was kind of the first initiation of industry credentials, a different pathway, if you will. Mm-hmm. We earned 328. And I thought, man, we're proud of that.
Absolutely.
This past year was over 3,400.
Wow.
So the emphasis and just finding ways to meet kids, students, where they are, match it to the opportunities that are available.
Absolutely.
And there's no right path. There's no necessarily wrong path. Let's get everyone on the path that they need. I go back, Michael, to like some RTI training.
Yeah.
And finding different ways to get people to where they need to go. And as a building principal, if I brought my staff in here, there was two things that I'd learned as we were looking at, right? Everyone knew was familiar with IEPs.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then we were moving into was ILPs, individual learning plans. Mm-hmm. So in essence, giving a student what they need. So if you had a headache, you go to the doctor, they say, take 2 aspirin, sleep 6 hours, you'll be fine tomorrow. Well, my back was killing. Take 2 aspirin, sleep 6 hours, you'll be fine. Treating the same way doesn't work. So I did 2 exercises with them that I had learned in some PDs. One was called size 7 shoe.
Mm-hmm.
So I had a bunch of shoes, right? All size 7, whatever it may be. And I handed them to all the people and said, now I want you to get this shoe on. And some it fit perfect. Some couldn't get their foot in. Some it was way too big. And I'm like, look, just like your students, just like what we're trying to do for them, it's not a one size fits all. But the one I was most proud of, coaching mode, I said, this PD, we're going to the baseline. We go to the gym, we're on the baseline. And I put them all on the baseline. And they knew I was kind of little maybe off as a coach in terms of I would make you run till you couldn't run anymore, see straight and all those things. So I had a little reputation of that.
Mm-hmm.
And put them on a line. I said, here's the thing. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to run baseline to baseline. But there's only 2 things that has to happen here. One, every one of you must run as hard as you can.
Absolutely.
Number 2, you all have to get here at the same time.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And guess what? That's not possible because I'd be holding somebody back or I'd be expecting, right? You can't get there at the same time. If I'm faster than you, I'm faster than you. I'm not going to wait for you. Mm-hmm. So how do we address that? And I think that's a big thing as we attack the whole, let's give them what they need.
Yeah. Yeah, Frank, I tell you, man, and I would have put you, and you know this, I would have played for you any day, Frank. I would
appreciate that
any day, Frank, because you know one thing that you highlighted, right, is that, and a mutual person that we love, mentor of mine, Dr. Bill Daggett, he always stated that within the next few years, right, I always use this kind of like this benchmark for 2030. But, you know, he's forecasting even quicker where we're seeing the elimination of knowledge work for knowledge workers, and we're seeing an increase in technical skill work, right? Mm-hmm. Because of what is, I like to say, the dependent variable that is impacting that, artificial intelligence and emerging technologies. So when we think about what you provided in your example, logistics, technical skill work that can generate a very, very good salary.
No doubt.
Coupling it with advanced technologies as well as AI. Wow. Because I'll tell you this, Frank, and it kind of leads right into our next question. And we talked about this whole, and again, I want to convey to my listeners and viewers out there at VFV, I'm not trying to minimize the vitality or the strength of standardized assessments. What I'm saying is that we need to have, I like to say, an ecosystem shift, a mental model shift on how we use standardized assessments. And now we need to question what is the validity of standardized assessments when we know that knowledge work, knowledge skills needed for jobs in this Delta 2030 AC stage of education economy is exponentially decreasing. And there is a stark increase, an exponential increase for the need to prepare students for technical skill work because of artificial intelligence and the level of emerging technologies that are being leveraged in our and nationally as well as internationally. So we have to think about that, right? And that's all that I'm trying to convey to align the education model to the economic demand, which we have a great opportunity to. Still remember, everybody, we're still underpinning an industrial model, which again has this separation or this focus on preparing students for a knowledge economy. Major shift that we have to really focus on. That's why we have one of the experts here today. But Frank, we were talking about that, right? With regards to that, and you led seamlessly into this question where now the future of education and school design should be around alternative and innovative models where we're working on developing students around workforce demands with credentials, right? Where we're preparing high school students, if they choose not to go the college route, they have a seamless pathway, i.e. your answer for all, how we get all to that finish line. But now when I think about it, a great pathway for students have the certificates, graduate from high school. If they choose not to go to college, they're earning, right, $70,000 to $80,000 as a starting salary for right out of high school. Frank, when I came out as a teacher, 4 years in debt, $33,580. I'll never forget that. I'll never forget that, Mark. So now, if we're preparing students, high school students, to matriculate successfully with skill development, right, with copious technical skill development, providing them with necessary credentials, setting them up for basically $70,000, $80,000 jobs at the baseline. I know some states that are paying $120,000, $130,000. Wow, right? How do we now start changing these models or traditional models of education to prepare our students for a technical and digital world of Delta 2030?
You know, what's scary when we talk about 2030, and I see these kids in these Letterman coats now, and they're right there back around to where it's like my daughter likes class of 27. I'm like, are you kidding me? You know, you go back, I'm looking back old yearbooks, and you see like 04s and you know, I was, and you talk about your salary. That was double when I started, my friend, just so you know, in that regard too. But, I kind of got us off. I'm sorry.
That's okay, Frank. I always say this, Frank, and to my viewers and to my listeners, my first teaching job, first grade four, $33,500. I remember that, right? I thought I was rich, Frank. I thought I was rich.
No question.
Now, when I look at these vertical pathways and these sequences, undergirded by a cluster of classes that students can receive their certificates and credentials.
Absolutely.
Right. I saw one state starting salary because there's a huge demand, $96,000. Yeah. I'm like, as an 18-year-old?
Yeah. Yeah.
I thought I was rich making $33,000 as a fourth grade teacher at 23 years old.
Right.
Please.
Right.
Now, how do we set up more kids to make $80,000 to $100,000 and that are addressing the demands of the economy?
There's no question, because there's I go back to so many different pathways. And I talk to our students a lot when I have the opportunity, is use other people's money to make yours. Because these are not less than skills or less than education right. You're getting. You're getting something that's going to be difference-making, difference-changing in the world. And oh, by the way, they will invest in you and send you an upskill. Your upskill mobility is unbelievable. Absolutely. With anything technical. On top of that, if you decide to go to a college university, I'm certainly not against that. I've got a couple degrees, I'm paying for my daughter to go to school now. I get all of that, but why not let them pay a little bit of it? Because they will.
So
they will. So these industry credentials we talk about, articulated credits can be part of that.
Absolutely.
Okay. College Credit Plus opportunities that has opened all kinds of doors for students. So they're able, if they write out of high school, Michael, go right into the workforce, or within a couple years with a skill training, even if they stay for an associate's or bachelor's, is your degree worth it? Is the number one question I would ask.
Right.
Okay. What kind of lifestyle do you want to live would be the next question. And because there are the opportunities. Now, there are people, absolutely, our kids are going out working full time as 18-year-olds, and they may be making like $20 an hour. They're an 18-year-old making 40 grand. I mean, by the way, they're still on their parents' insurance.
Exactly.
There's so many advantages. There's so many advantages. And I know other countries say certain countries have their I call them students, kids, where have to do military time, right? Mm-hmm. Certain countries still have that you have to serve 2 years. We don't have that. Here's a great way to invest in yourself. Others will invest in you. And boy, the sky is the absolute limit when it comes to those types of things. But, you were talking about Daggett, and I went back and I listened to your podcast with him, by the way. I've had the opportunity to hear him speak a couple of different times recently, as about a year ago. Education reform's at the forefront.
Yeah, absolutely.
Which it really is. And when I talk about education reform, and I'm not talking, it doesn't have to be a legislative driven thing. I think it has to be within our own, and we have to look at our plate.
Absolutely.
Right? And say, okay, what really needs to be on our plate? What can we take offer plate if we're going to put something on? What can we take smaller doses of? I used to get blamed a lot of times when I'd go to a smorgasbord place and my grandma would look at me and say, boy, your eyes are a little bigger than your stomach, right? sometimes this is what education has become, because it's the next new thing. We'll just add it on.
Right.
Too much of anything good for you is also bad for you at times, right? So maybe we've got to reportion.
Absolutely.
And what do we really need? What do we really value, and make sure that we have in mind that learner?
Absolutely. And Frank, I'm just writing this down because you bring upon or you present a critical point that I think now we need to really assess our own individual learning organizations, our own operating model holistically as an ecosystem, where you had said this, right? Repurpose, right? Need and value. And I think what we have to critically analyze and diagnose are, what are the programs that are aligned to developing the student competencies and needs from a personalized and individualized manner to achieve what you had said before, success for all.
Right. Right?
And that whole, I think, that recalibration of what the system needs, it goes back to the transformation and the reform strategies that we're talking about. And I think that when we start diagnosing our education entities, whether it be as a state or even at a local level, what is inevitable, Frank, is that we have to have career technical focuses. We have to have a critical understanding is what is the economic workforce demand so that we can start developing career pathways, so that we create clusters of courses, so that we can provide students with necessary credentials and certificates. So if they choose to matriculate out to a two-year college or even into the workforce, they are ready. That really is college and career, linear focusing on career readiness. And my listeners and my viewers know that I've been taking this critical stance on how we have to achieve all. And because of, now, if you think about it, right, cybersecurity, right, that's another pathway, technical skill, not necessarily needing a four-year degree, but a cluster of skills that can be developed in a program, a focused technical program. When we talk about computer science, when we talk about logistics, when we talk about manufacturing, these are all high-paying jobs where now we can develop skills in the pre-K-12 pathway. But Frank, I want to end this misnomer, right? Because I still think that it carries over from this BC stage collective shared mental model. Career technical education has always been viewed or had been viewed in this negative way, right? The negative context of career education. Me, I'm the biggest proponent of career technical education, because if you look at the research and the data, it shows that 100% of jobs are going to have advanced level of technical skills and advanced level of digital readiness or digital skills, right? So career technical education, developing career pathways in our schools can't be perceived as something negative. Frank, right now, I want you, in maybe about 1 minute, please end that narrative, or how do we end that narrative within the education ecosystem? Because we're living in the AC stage of education.
No doubt. You know, in reality, and I said a little bit earlier, at the end of the day, everyone's going to have a career. So why, if everyone's going to have a career, which is high aptitude, high skill, no matter what it is, why was a career center education always looked at as less than, not equal to? That's where those kids would go.
Right.
In reality, nothing could be further from the truth. Try to get a plumber today, Michael, because the narrative was you don't go there. And the reality of it is we all rely on skilled labor, high demand jobs, the infrastructure that we talked about early on. And the fact of the matter is, you can have an unbelievable career in what they are all pretty much. And the thing I like most about a career technical education, they're all service minded. They're all in essence helping other people. And we're real fortunate to be looked upon as important. I don't think it was always that way. But in reality, a skilled workforce, a highly motivated workforce, and a highly competitive workforce,
absolutely,
is needed in today's world more than ever. If we want to continue to grow the good, we've got to change that narrative. And at the end of the day, why was it ever looked at as a bad option in the first place?
Exactly.
And that's even from my own home. My parents had never, Michael, set foot in a career center, but they listened to the outside noise and saying, that's not what's best for them. Right. Well, in reality, let's expose everyone to it and let them make decisions.
Absolutely. And Frank, and one thing I want to underscore with your statement, because it's well stated, right, is that we're starting to see this exponential an explosion of alternative models, alternative education models. And if you really get down to the intricacies of what I like to say, the portrait of the system, or the DOE, the design of experimentation, if you think about these accelerators, these alternative models, these hubs that are being created, where do you think the structures and systems, ideas of these accelerators are coming from? Career technical education institutions, career technical education pathways, because why? They allow that flexibility to be able to develop the skills and the competencies of students in a personalized way that is not didactyl to the traditional model of education, which is regurgitation of information, do very well on a standardized test. And guess what? You're going to go to a prestigious college because you have SATs. But what about skill on deployment within the economy to lift all boats? So that's where now, Frank, we're starting to see the shift. And I wouldn't be surprised within 4 to 5 years, we start seeing clusters of alternative models that are grounded in design and grounded in, I like to say, tenant features within the model that emulates the career technical pathways that, to be honest with you, career technical education centers that have been established way before we even started putting this as a priority imperative in education. Thank you for bringing that up, Frank, because it's so necessary.
Yeah, thanks, Mike. You know, interesting, a very large, a global company has come into Ohio and is going to need work. Unbelievable. And they didn't understand our story. They're thinking everyone must have an associate's degree or we're not going to hire. Well, then they started to look at what was the career technical structure that Ohio has. Yeah. They started to look at what is being taught at the community college at level in Ohio and realized, now, wait a minute. I just don't need a student that has that training is as equal to what we need as an associate level or whatever it may be. And I'm there again, Michael. I don't want to come across as I'm anti-college education.
Right.
I'm not that at all.
Absolutely.
But the awareness, I guess, is what I'm saying about that. And we've got to do away. And I just did some employee summits the last couple of weeks. No one should be able to tell a school story better than the school personnel.
Absolutely.
And I know Joe Sanfilippo, Joe talks about a lot. If you don't tell your story, they're going to make it up.
Absolutely.
Right? So how do we tell our stories? But the other one is we've got to be open and let employers come in and tell us what is needed.
Absolutely.
Because if I'm doing what I did, if I left industry and I'm teaching in a career center right now in a certain lab, and I left industry 10 years ago, that industry has changed.
Absolutely.
So I'm going to teach what I know, which is 10 years old. Unless you come in as an employer and tell me these are the relevant facts. So it has to be a partnership, and it's not a one-time sit and get partnership, Michael, right? It's an ongoing, living, breathable relationship. And that's where like your business advisory councils and different things along those play. And man, we open our doors to anyone. We talk about come in early, come in often. You want to watch them work, you want to interview them, you want to present, whatever you want to do. Because ultimately, me and you, we probably want to retire someday, right?
Exactly, right?
That $33,000 wasn't going to last you forever. So we've got to develop the next future wave so that we can benefit from hopefully the services that we've all provided for others as well. And we do that through those partnerships.
Absolutely, Frank. And I'll tell you this, and I want to underscore your statement. Yes, I think that obviously we're not trying to, or I'm not trying to say that, the college pathway is not there, right? Because I think that whether we think it or not, the design of the education model is around knowledge base development, which is ultimately the next step after PK-12 is college, right? That's just by design, how the education model is designed. What I'm advocating for is all. What you're advocating for is all, closing the opportunity and access gap so that students have multiple opportunities and multiple access points to be able to not only just prepare themselves for college, but also if they choose that trajectory of career, that they'll be able to move that pathway in. That's why we have to look at the comprehensive redesign of our structures and systems in education. Now that third thread is digital readiness. But Tom Vander Ark, a previous guest on Voices for Excellence, have been a leading voice for work-based learning and improving what essentially is, when we talk about career development and workforce readiness, is deep learning, right? Deep learning that is measured by competencies in the national ecosystem. Career education has changed. You alluded to that. And our legacy model has to do the same, which we were just talking about, ensuring that we're closing opportunity gaps for career and college readiness digital readiness as this new element for 2030. But you even alluded to it in your previous answers, right? The demands, the needs for Generation Z and Generation Alpha have changed. Now, from a conceptualization, right, of this context of redesigning policy, we haven't talked about policy yet. We talked about the model. From a policy standpoint, you're in the state that's leading the nation for career technical development, skill development around specific industry work, right? You are in that space. Ohio policies, right, around career force development. So from an interdisciplinary approach of your learning, right, for my viewers and listeners out there, what does this look like? And where do I start if I'm a leader in the traditional education setting?
Yeah, well, I think, and we did allude to it a little bit earlier, I may have been jumping around a little
bit. Okay, Frank, the more the merrier, Frank.
But that plate, okay? Yeah. What do I need? What do I not need? What can I take off? What can I put on? We can disagree that whether we like modern technologies, AIs, but what we can't do is deny it's not here and it's going to be here and continue to go, right?
Absolutely.
So how do we put our, I guess in essence, also we got to put our personal biases aside. One of the things it kind of bothers me sometimes when I'll make tours of places and they may have a sign up that says I graduated from so-and-so university. So can you. But what happens to the kid? Did you have a summer job? But what happens to the kid that's not there? And I think that kind of goes into our whole well-rounded. We as educators, we've got to do a better job of knowing what's available and out there, because we all went to schools. We think we know school pretty well. Right. So how do we change our thoughts and processes by being connected, by being open, being willing, if you will, supporting of the different roads and pathways to get to where you want to go. Finding out what not only students' interests are, but also what their aptitudes are.
Absolutely.
Not making decisions for them, but informing them of all the options that are available. And we're very fortunate, like you mentioned, getting back to the policy part of it, Ohio has done a very good job.
Absolutely.
Of addressing these three or four different pathways to graduation. One of those is actually through the industry credential, a 12-point industry credential attainment. So if you get your cosmetology license, and you pass, you get a qualifying score, and you do a Ohio Means Jobs backpack, you build your backpack, there's another agency involved, you become an AWS welder, an electrician, HVAC technician. Let's say you're not a great end of the course test taker. These are pathways that allow you to also graduate, and that should not be, and they've done a very good job of not selling it as less than. At first it was like the career tech way. Well, no, that's not a fair, because there's all different ways. Pre-apprenticeship, they have done a very good job of supporting those and trying to say not less than, just another avenue.
Absolutely.
And I think that education has to continue. I think the discussion has to continue. That alignment of different pathways.
Yeah.
And knowing that the different roads, the different ramps, the on-ramps, off-ramps, I go back to, and I said this very on education not being a race, how well connected we are, makes a big difference.
Absolutely.
Giving students what they, providing them information to make informed decisions.
Well stated, Frank, because, I think, again, your answer, what resonated with me were these two critical themes. One, that you have said it, or one you stated, aptitude, right? Aptitude. I think that now within the AC stage of education, Generation Z, Generation Alpha, and their critical needs, we have to be able to measure their aptitude, their strengths, their abilities, their interests. And Frank, one of the main reasons why I brought you onto the show, obviously great education friends, but this notion of alignment of workforce demands through pathways, through focuses around careers, the industry jobs that you just list or that you just highlighted, and I did a quick market analysis within that, the lowest paying starting salary within those careers was $71,000, right? And providing those alternative pathways that seamlessly is interfaced into the education model, it becomes a necessity in the AC stage mm-hmm. of education. And one thing that you highlighted too within your answer, that is this resounding factor, this resounding determinant that we have to continue to elevate specifically for the students that we're educating. Agency, providing the necessary agency. And Frank, at the end of the show, I'm going to ask you to provide my listeners and my viewers their contact information, because please, anyone that's watching or listening to this episode, please contact Frank, because Ohio has one of the best set of policies with regards to career development and alignments with regards to pathways. They are a leader across this country. Everybody references, if you want to see how you want to build a strong, sustainable model to reach the level of all, Ohio and the policies and legislative structures that are in place is one to reference, and two, to be able to use as guidance with regards to your transformation process. So Frank, last question, my friend. Coach, last question, Coach. All right, here we go. And Coach, I know I'm limiting you in this question, but I always tell my participants of the BFB, take it how it is. Sometimes it's three times 1,000. Sometimes it's 3 times 3. Sometimes it's 3 squared. It gets invented. I mean, people innovate with this question, okay? So
all right,
how it is, Frank. What 3 words do you want our audience to leave today's podcast regarding workplace demands and industry readiness for Delta 2030?
Well, certainly. Look, let me throw. Can I throw a couple in there? You all right with that?
And
that
innovation is warranted.
All right. So one of the things that our superintendent, Mr. Bob Alsep, and I, we talk about, and we've done this a few times. Clint Eastwood. Movie, Heartbreak Ridge.
Yes. Okay.
Improvise, adapt, overcome. We've got all three of those certainly are vitally important. You got to find a way, you got to maybe change a way, and you just got to keep fighting away. So when you look at it in that regard, one of my favorite things, and I say this all the time, I actually use this as a motto, as a principle, was relationships determine results. I gave every one of them a t-shirt with a big RDR on it, because I feel nothing will really get done unless you have a vested interest in others, willingness to serve others, that servant heart, and have a true and trusting relationship that you count on not just today, but tomorrow, 5, 10, 15 years from now. And I think the 3 words that then I come back to for anything that really happened, Michael, we got to have an openness, we got to have a willingness, and we've got to have a wantingness. And I think if we're open, we're willing, and we're wanting to help and serve, man, could we be great again.
Listen, I tell you, to my audience, to my listeners and viewers, you got 9 words. We got nine. And Frank, so seamlessly through the throughputs from 3 to 6 to 9, we have improvised, adapt, overcome, which segues into relationships determine results, but you have to have an openness, willingness, and wantonness to be able to succeed. That right there encompasses the AC stage of education. Mr. Frank Poland, you survived VFE, Coach. You okay?
Ready to go.
Frank, if anybody that is watching today's show want to talk to you more about the policy structures that are in place in Ohio, how to be able to develop, whether it be new industry focuses within their strategic plan or their strategic intent to develop new pathways, how would they be able to get in touch with you?
Yeah, the best way through our web, BuckeyeCareerCenter.org. My personal email, fpolen, P-O-L-E-N, at BuckeyeCareerCenter.org. I'm active on Twitter at Frank P. BCC. And then I'm also on LinkedIn, but we have a robust shout out to our public relations coordinator, Cheyenne Kerr. We have a robust social media, her Facebook, and I'm not a real good Facebooker, but she gets everything out on. Is that a word, Facebooker?
Yeah, listen, it's innovation here.
But really robust, welcome at any time, but 330-339-2288. It comes right into my office. And I know I'm going to steal this from Joe. We're all in this together, right?
Absolutely. And our good friend, Joe Sanfilippo, I'll tell you that. Shout out to him. And Frank, thank you, because you're going to start seeing more within season two, where we're going to be looking at career focuses, workplace demands, workplace readiness, and coupling that with AI. Because again, we have to be able to have this, I like to say, seismic but strategic shift, paradigm shift, to now develop in this emergent model to include all voices. So Mr. Frank Polen, coach, thank you so much. From the bottom of my heart, appreciate you. My listeners and viewers, please reach out to him, one of the experts across the country in this. And on that note, onward and upward, everybody. Have a great evening.